Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church. It's the Church of Natural Abundance. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to be covering Psalm 75. And as I've said before in other sermons, everywhere I look in the Bible, even when I'm not trying to, I see very direct references to the end of days and God's judgment upon America and Israel and ultimately upon humanity. And Psalm 75 is no exception to this. It's extraordinary. I would not have even found this if I wasn't just reading the various Psalms. And I came across this and I was just blown away. But let me precede this by stating the following, which of course will be somewhat controversial, but we are so far past caring about that. The United States of America and Israel are both, in the eyes of the Lord, wicked, evil, satanic nations, steeped in abortion, transgenderism, mutilation of children, mass fornication, you know, wickedness, deception, satanic worship, satanic control, you name it. Israel's carrying out a genocide right now, murdering the children of God in Gaza. The United States is the abortion capital of the West, and New York City is the abortion capital of the U.S. And the United States of America rejects God, and the churches of America have largely rejected God, although there are some exceptions to this. But by and large, the church has failed. The church failed to stand up against transgenderism. The church was silent when LGBT took over society. The church failed to stand up against the COVID lockdowns and vaccine mandates. The church failed to stand up against the rigged 2020 election. And today, the church has failed to stand up against the infiltration of Zionism, creating an occupied criminal cabal government that's run by Zionism, which is an ethnic supremacist, racist, genocidal, satanic death cult. And as a result of that, God judges America and Israel. We've already covered the fact that God sees the destruction of America with the third trumpet, specifically the destruction of the great harlot, which is New York City, after which the angels rejoice, don't forget. And with the sixth trumpet, or the sixth bowl, Israel is destroyed. And we've covered this many times. We've covered the verses, Ezekiel 38, Matthew 24, covered in Joel, in Zephaniah, we've covered in Revelation, and other places. Now we're going to cover it in Psalm 75, which you may be surprised to hear this. So as always, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the title that's given to this, I'd like to read from BibleGateway.com. And the subhead title, which is not in the Bible, but this is the title attributed to this, is called Thanksgiving for God's Righteous Judgment. So what is God judging in Psalm 75? God is judging nations, judging the wicked, evil nations. And what's interesting is there's a subhead in front of this. It says, to the chief musician set to, quote, do not destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. Okay? So it's set to a piece of music called Do Not Destroy. Why would they be saying do not destroy? Because God's plan is to destroy the wicked nations, as you'll see here. Now, we're going to go through this. It's not very long, but you're going to see direct references to the seven trumpets and the seven bowls, which are seven comet impacts that destroy, at first, regions of the world and destroy specific nations like the United States and regions like the Middle East, including Israel. And then ultimately, the seventh trumpet destroys all of human civilization because God judges humanity with his wrath and destroys the human experiment. And he resets earth to a new earth. He flattens every mountain and every island. It's all gone. Every wall falls, every city falls, every human is turned to dust, from blood to dust. Okay, I think that's in Joel. And at the end of that, then we are judged based on our behavior, our morality, and our souls. And that's the rapture, which happens after the tribulation. So let us begin with Psalm 75, verse 1. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. And by the way, remember this is a song, so they're singing this. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. And then this is kind of a quote from the Lord. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. See what I mean? Like, we're only in verse 3, and it's already God promising to destroy the entire planet and everybody on it, okay? And he's going to do it at the proper time, the time of his choosing, the time that we don't know, we can't know. Even Christ himself said that he doesn't know. Only the Lord knows. But whatever time that is, maybe it's coming soon. Maybe not. Maybe it's a few years later. I don't know. But when it happens, the earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. Boom. Okay? So this is Psalm 75. It continues, I set up its pillars firmly, Selah, S-E-L-A-H, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. You know, don't be arrogant and think you're such hot stuff. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. Okay? This is key. This is verse 7. But God is the judge. It says exaltation comes neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south. It means your greatness doesn't come from, you know, conquering lands and kingdoms or all the riches that you get in trade from the lands of the east and the west and whatever. Your greatness only comes from God, and God is the judge. And as I've said before, God judges all of us. He judges kindly but firmly. And he doesn't give you a bunch of excuses, by the way. He doesn't give you a bunch of second chances once it's all done. Now, yes, you do have second chances during your life. You have a lot of second chances because Christ died for your sins. You can repent. You can repent at any time. And you can get basically Jesus credit for all your sins. Like, all your sins will be wiped out. But you have to ask for it. And then you have to lead a good life. You have to both act in faith and earn through deeds your place in heaven. That's clear in the teachings of the Bible. It's faith plus deeds. I was having this discussion with Steve Quayle recently. It's faith plus deeds. You can't earn your way in heaven from deeds alone, but you also can't earn your way into heaven from faith alone if your deeds contradict God. You can't say, well, I love Jesus, I accept Jesus, and, you know, I'm going to shoot these children in the head like they're doing in Israel. No, sorry, you don't go to heaven. You go to hell. Your actions have to be consistent with your faith, obviously. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So anyway, verse 7, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. See? Saying he will send this person to hell, and he raises this person to heaven. You know, how does he decide to do that? Well, the Bible tells you. It's got all the secret unlock codes. Verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. And you're like, roar? You know, if you're a dog, your ears just perked up. Roar? A cup. Oh, actually, my dog just got up. Hey, it's okay. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. Oh, the wine is red. That's another. And you'll know why. You'll know why. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Whoa. Are you tracking? Huh? You know what this means? He pours it out? Did you know that for each of the seven bowls in Revelation, it says the angel, a male, he pours it out onto the earth or onto the sky or onto, you know, the land, whatever. He pours it out, pours it upon the land. So here we are, again, verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. Now, remember, after the sixth impact strikes Israel in the Middle East, what do we hear about? The great wine press. that's churned up blood red because of, you know, all the water released and all of the damage released from the comet impact. The great wine press is flooded with the churning mud of the color of blood. This is all along the, it goes down to the Dead Sea. This is all part of Israel, okay? It is fully mixed and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. Okay, so in other words, this wine is red. This is a symbol of destruction and death. And the Lord pours it out and all of the wicked of the earth drink it. Okay, that's what this says. Now, let us go to the seventh bowl from the book of Revelation. This is Revelation chapter 16. And remember that each of the seven bowls aligns with each of the seven trumpets. And each of the bowls is a comet impact that is God's judgment unleashed against humanity, against a city, against a nation, a region, and ultimately the whole planet. So the seventh bowl is the one that destroys the entire earth, all of human civilization. I mean, it doesn't obliterate the physical planet, but it resets the planet because it destroys all human life and all civilization. There is no human left alive. There's no nation left alive. Israel's gone. Okay, so here's what the seventh bowl says. Quote, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city," oh, by the way, all of that refers to a giant earth-ending comet. And let me show you a video clip from the movie Greenland that depicts an extinction-level event comet in the air about to collide with Earth. So let's play that clip right now. All right, there you go. That's from the movie Greenland. And that actual comet that's impacting in that movie, that's actually not as big as the seventh trumpet. That's more like maybe number six. maybe that's the sixth trumpet or the sixth bowl. Maybe it's the third. Maybe it's just the first one. But the seventh trumpet or the seventh bowl destroys the entire planet and wipes out all life on Earth as we know it. That is all human life. Okay, now continuing in Revelation chapter 16, verse 19. "Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon," that's New York City in America, "was remembered before God." And how was it remembered? Quote, "to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Because God specifically wants to destroy America and New York City because it's the most evil city on the planet. So this phrase, "to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath," does this sound like Psalm 75? Verse 8, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out." He pours it out, just like the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. "He pours it out, surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down." Okay? So, exactly the same. And then back to Revelation with the seventh bowl, verse 20, "Then every island fled away." No more islands. "And the mountains were not found." Oh. No more mountains. You realize how flattened, like what level of earthquake would be required to flatten every mountain? Every mountain. Gone. Every island gone. Yeah, that's an earth-ending event right there, or a life-ending event. Verse 21, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, which is 100 pounds or so. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Yeah, I would imagine. So the as the hail's falling upon them and the planet's being destroyed, you can imagine that New Yorkers are looking up at the sky and shaking their fists, like, damn you, God! Damn you! And God is like, told you so. I remembered you. Right. New Yorkers, especially remembered you with all your abortion and transgenderism and wickedness and evil and your banking system that funded all the wars and the genocide, World War II, the Holocaust, the Middle East, all of it. Yeah, I remembered you, says the Lord. We have a special space rock reserved for you in New York City. It's going to be the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Yeah, if you're ever at a church and somebody offers you a cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, you might want to say, no, thank you, I'm fine. Okay, continuing Psalm 75, verse 9. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. That's interesting. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Oh, well, that's interesting. But this word horns is probably translated weirdly. It could mean strength, is one of the notes I'm reading here. So all the strength of the wicked I will cut off, but the strength of the righteous shall be exalted. So that fulfills God's promise to judge everybody, and those who are good will go to heaven, and those who are evil will go to hell. So that's the song. Can you imagine gathering around? Hey, it's a day for Christmas carols. Well, except, you know, this is before Christmas ever existed. But it's Christmas carol time. Let's sing. What do you want to sing? Hey, let's sing the song about drinking the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Oh, that's a good one. Yes. Okay, let's sing it. You know, can you imagine singing this song and like, joyfully, the earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's like a war song. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. You know, I will set up pillars of flame and fire and brimstone. You know, and can you imagine just singing this, and then just singing it kind of mindlessly, like not even knowing what it says, that you're all gonna die because earth is deemed wicked and unworthy by the Lord. Yeah, because that's what it says. So, even in our modern world, people sing a lot of songs. They have no idea what they say. They're just singing them blindly. Like, do you know what you just said? Yeah, if you don't believe me, look up the words to the rock song called Walk This Way from Aerosmith. Yeah, if you've ever sang that song and you didn't think about it, you sang some filthy stuff, by the way. Walk this way, yeah. So what I find interesting about the greater context of this is that, you know, here we have Psalm 75, obviously Old Testament, before Christ. And, you know, a lot of these psalms are written by King David, probably not this one, but others are. We see, and we also saw, you know, we covered Psalm 11 in another sermon. We see that there is a lot of knowledge about the end of days in the Old Testament. And we also see the exact same message repeated over and over again. And this is a message that modern-day Christians absolutely do not want to hear. There's something very strange about Christians. They don't even know Christ, you know? I mean, a lot of them, right? I'm talking about the churches that defy the teachings of Christ. But what's strange about modern Christians is that they're afraid to admit that God judges them. Somehow, like, that's not acceptable today. Oh, that's mean to say you're going to be judged by God. It's so mean. You know, God loves us all unconditionally. No, he doesn't. No, not a chance. God does not love you unconditionally. God either loves you or destroys you based on who you are, based on your actions, it turns out. He does the same thing to nations. So if America becomes a wicked nation steeped in abortion and lies and deception and Satanism and child mutilations, child trafficking and rape and, you know, rejecting God, well, God's going to judge America. God does not love America. You know, he will remember America. He'll remember New York City. That's why it says, and great Babylon was remembered before God. Yeah, he remembers New York City, quote, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Yeah, I remember you. And God judges Israel for the same reason. Tel Aviv is the LGBT capital of the Middle East. The Israeli culture is one of mass, you know, transgenderism and gay sex parties and sodomizers, child mutilators, wickedness, Satanism, widespread secularism. Now, again, there are exceptions to all of this. You know, there are some good people in Israel. There are some good people in America. There are some good people, you know, everywhere. In every nation, there are some good people. But overall, the nations of Israel and America, and I would imagine Canada must be included in this, these nations are deemed absolutely wicked in the eyes of God. But what's astonishing to me is how the judgment upon nations and the judgment upon earth is so prominent throughout the Bible. And yet, almost no pastors or preachers will ever teach it. It's like they're afraid to utter the words, like they're afraid to read Psalm 75, verse 3. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. Ta-da! I set up its pillars firmly. You know, when I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. I wish we could make this rhyme. We could do a rap to it. We could make a rap. I already did a rap, Song of Solomon. We should do a rap to, like, an end of days rap song. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. Maybe we can finish it before the end of days. That would be the goal. But nobody that I've ever heard from who teaches the Bible, nobody teaches this stuff. And I guess there's this tendency in Christian, I don't know, the Christian industry, which is, you know, mostly all BS. They don't teach the Bible. They don't care about the Bible. They don't teach Christ. It's all about growing their church and making more money and having more luxurious wealth. You know, all the things that Paul warned against, this is what the mega churches are all into. And also a lot of weird sexual perversion and, you know, among certain church leaders and whatever, raping the choir boys, you know, in the Catholic Church. All that kind of stuff, right? That goes on all the time. But these churches don't teach anything really about the end times. And so I suppose they read these verses like this, like the earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. And they just think, well, they're exaggerating. Except this is a quote from the Lord in the song. This is a quote from the Lord. This is quoting the Lord. Or at least it's supposed to be quoting the Lord, right? The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. There's not a lot of leeway in that. You know, it's hard to read that sentence and say, well, maybe he doesn't mean all. You know, it's pretty complete, you know? The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. Dissolved. And it reminds me, and we covered this previously, Zephaniah Chapter 1. What verse is this? Verse 17. Well, let's start. Okay, no, let's start with verse 14. Here we go. Wow. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. And remember, the day of the Lord refers to, you know, the ultimate, the seventh trumpet. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm. See, there's a reference to the trumpets. Against the fortified cities and against the high towers, quote, I will bring distress upon men And they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust. Their blood shall be poured out like dust. Doesn't that remind you here of Psalm 75, verse 3? The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. You know, when I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. So Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17. Because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he, the Lord, will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Again, it doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room, does it? Words like all, the fire of his jealousy, turning your blood into dust. Well, how do you turn blood to dust? You vaporize people. You atomize the human bodies. How do you do that? With great energy. Where does the great energy come from? An impact of a giant comet. That's what the Bible talks about this. Now, you know, in dozens of different ways. When I first started teaching this and I got that book, The Comets of God, oh, here it is, Dr. Goodman, I thought it was just going to be a few comets like in Revelation and Matthew 24, and that's it. Little did I know that now it's seemingly everywhere I turn in the Bible, it's the same thing. It's the comets, it's the fire and brimstone, it's the mass killing of everybody as the wrath of the Lord is unleashed against them. And the day of the Lord is referenced over and over and over again. And it's always a day of judgment. And it's a day of judgment that has the same result, the total destruction of all of humanity on planet Earth. Again and again and again. So why would practically every pastor teaching the Bible, why would almost every one of them deny that that's what it says? When it says it so many times, in so many ways, from so many prophets, in the Old Testament, and the New, and the book of Revelation, and, by the way, in the Quran, as I talked about a couple sermons ago, this is Surah number 56, 81, and 82. It's in the Quran, too, if you follow Islam. Same thing in the Quran. Why would this be all over the Bible unless, I mean, it wouldn't be an accident, right? It must be true. Because these visions were given to John, these words were given to, you know, Ezekiel and Zephaniah, these words were given to Joel, these concepts were given to King David. And over again, I mean, we have Psalms about it, we have songs. They're singing this stuff. And it's the same words again and again. You know, the wine is red, pours out the cup upon the people, pours out the bowl. The angel pours out the bowl with a loud booming voice. It's the day of the Lord, Lord's wrath. The land shall be devoured in the fire of his jealousy. Fire and brimstone comes out of the mouth of the serpent with the long tail, and it kills one third of the people here, and then a fourth of the people here, and then 50% over here. And, you know, you start adding up all these fractions. It's like, wait a second, how many people are left? You know, if you do the math, it's not that many. it's not. Not that many people make it to the seventh trumpet, by the way. And then at the seventh trumpet, nobody makes it. It's like, everybody is reset. So, whenever that day comes, all human beings will be atomized. All human blood will be turned to dust. All human bodies will be turned to ash. Every mountain will be flattened. Earth's crust will be liquefied and melted, in essence, back to a flat state. That's coming. That day is coming. America will be destroyed. Israel will be destroyed. All the other nations will be destroyed. But, you know, there's a special comet for New York City because it's so evil. So, how do you deal with this information? right? I've been teaching this for a number of sermons. I've been reading it, teaching it, putting the pieces of this puzzle together myself. Well, guess what? It shouldn't actually change much in your day-to-day life. You know why? Because the priority should have always been, I mean, I use the word should, but the best way to live our life is to live the life with Christ walking with us, live a life that is holy, live a life with God every single day, knowing that you're mortal anyway. You could die tomorrow anyway. Might not be a comet. It might be a, you know, a Ford truck. It might be your battery catches on fire in your, you know, your electric car. Yeah, it could be a failed elevator. Could be a, you know, a hit and run accident, whatever. You don't know the day that you're going to die. Whether it's a giant flaming comet out of the sky, which would be, you know, the most awesome way to go, or if it's something stupid like you accidentally cut yourself with a piece of glass and you bled out because you don't know how to put a tourniquet on or something. However you die, we're all going to die. We're all going to be judged with exactly the same rules. There's no favoritism in heaven other than to favor those who are, of course, more holy, those who are good people. But other than that, you know, nobody's going to put in a good word for you with the Lord to get you through, you know, this extra heaping pile of sins that you committed. No. Everybody's judged the same. The good news is Jesus died for your sins. So if you ask for forgiveness, if you repent, you're like 90% there, maybe more. All you have to do is like not be a wicked person. Don't support genocide. You know, don't advocate the killing of children. Don't mutilate children. Don't rape children. Don't traffic children, right? I mean, come on. How hard should it be to not do evil, wicked things? Like, be a good person, embrace Christ, and whether you get killed by, you know, the seventh trumpet or the seventh truck at a traffic light, doesn't matter, does it? Not in the big picture. You are judged the same no matter how you die. And if you die before the seven trumpets, well, then you're going to miss out on the best fireworks show in history. But you'll be brought up, your soul will be brought up before heaven, and you'll be judged at that time. You know, the rapture happens. You're judged accordingly, and, you know, you get to go one of two ways, and that's it. Or as in the Quran, what did it say? You have the right hand. There's three categories of judgment in the Quran. The right hand is people who are with God. The left hand is people who go to hell. And then there was a third category, which was like the super holy God people who are given a seat right beside God, you know, I think is what it said. The right hand, the left hand, and then like the super holy, you know, the people who are closest to God. Okay. But in Christianity, it's just two choices, either heaven or hell, but you get to make that choice. So I would imagine that as we continue to go through the passages of the Bible, even passages that I've read before, and I did not notice these things, but now I will. As we go through them moving forward, we're going to find more examples of this, because this story of God's judgment and God's total destruction of humanity and human civilization, this is woven throughout the Bible. So yes, we're going to see it again and again and again. So do not be surprised. The good news in this is that there is no doubt, because, you know, this is repeated so frequently. God really is sending the message, hey, take this seriously. I'm going to tell you like 50 times. I'm going to tell you in the Old Testament, the New Testament. I'm going to tell you in songs and psalms. getting into some tongue twisters. I'm going to tell you through Jesus. I'm going to tell you through Matthew. I'm going to tell you all these different ways. And if you still can't hear it, something wrong with your ears, you know? But that's the way the Lord works. He's going to tell you 50 times and say, do you get it yet? Some people who go to mainstream Christian churches, they'll never get it because their pastor will never tell them these things. You know, and they'll just sit there eating biscuits and cookies and thinking that God loves everybody, even when he says he doesn't, even when he says he hates those who espouse violence. That's Psalm 11, I believe, right? So there you go. There you go. Great news, isn't it? Isn't it nice to know the rules? That's half the battle right there. You know, you're born without a memory. Like, you're brought into this world, and sort of the cosmic message is, hey, welcome to Earth. Now you figure it out. And you're a child like, what is this? What am I doing here? You figure it out. You know, well, guess what? The Bible helps you figure it out. And we're kind of decoding it here together. We got to figure it out. You know the rules. You know the so-called cheat codes now. You know how to win the simulation. You know how it ends. You know all that stuff. You realize how far ahead of the masses you are now? You realize how much more advanced you are in the knowledge of how this goes compared to mainstream Christians who go to mainstream churches that don't even teach this stuff? You have the answers. You broke the code. You know how this ends. You know what God expects. You know what happens. That's amazing. That's a gift to have that. And that's the gift of the Bible. God gave you that gift. That's why John was told in Revelation, don't you dare change a word of this. If you do, you're going to be punished. Didn't it say, like, if you change a word, like, we'll cut off your hands or something like that? Don't even change a single word. Why? Because every word matters. That's why that message was communicated. Because this is the code book for how to win in the simulation. I mean, I know that's a crude way of putting it, but it's how to do what God sent you here to do. And then when the simulation ends, you will be so happy that you did. So there you go. All right. I hope you enjoyed this sermon. We are on number 89, I believe, or maybe it's 90 now. We've only got 10 or 11 left in this series. And I don't know what I'm going to do after that. But I'm going to work on some research stories and presentations and maybe some video documentaries. I'm not sure yet. We'll see how it goes. But I won't be doing a sermon every day. That was just a task that was given to me. Do 100 sermons in 100 days because you have to learn this stuff and you have to teach this stuff. And you know, little did I know that we were going to end up where we are now. So after the 100 sermons, what happens next? I don't know. But I'm open to God's guidance wherever that leads us. In the meantime, sign up for the free email list at abundance.church. That's the website, abundance.church. And we will send you emails when we post interesting things, and we will continue to do so all the way up until the seventh trumpet. I think email will still work after the first couple of trumpets, by the way, so we'll send out alerts. Trumpet number one has arrived. No, it may not even happen in our lifetimes. We don't know. But if it does, it sure will be interesting. I can see all the scientists saying, you know, somehow NASA missed this giant incoming rock. And then when it hits the forest, you know, and burns up a third of the forest, they're like, don't believe anything in Revelation. They'll say, you know, the Bible is a lie. You know, and they won't want people to believe in God, even in the end times, you know. But then a lot of other people will start to realize, wait a second, this looks a lot like Revelation. This looks a lot like Matthew 24. Stars are falling out of the sky. What's going on? So there's going to be a mass awakening as the trumpets start to sound and the bowls start to be poured out on the earth. There's going to be a lot of people repenting. Isn't that interesting? It's going to bring a lot of people to Christ just in the last, you know, few years or days or whatever it is. It's going to be a massive, I mean, that would be called the revival right there. It's going to be a revival right before the end. So who knows how many souls might come to Jesus in the last days. Might be a lot. Maybe heaven is crowded. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But until then, we will keep covering this, and we'll put out emails and try to educate people and try to help humanity as much as we can, making some more food donations. We've got another roughly $100,000 worth of food donations going out to Florida. We have a new staging area in Florida set up. I mean, we didn't set it up, but we've coordinated with the people who have it set up there. And I'll bring you more news and photos about all of that when it happens. So we're helping humanity while we can, teaching survival and preparedness and spiritual preparedness above all. So thank you for listening today. Mike Adams here, abundance.church. God bless you all. Take care.